place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and its Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. So the Lord is saying, I'm going to give you everything. He says here, first of all, he says in the third verse, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. He didn't say, I'm going to give it to you. He said, I've already given it to you. So in essence, what the Lord is telling the children of Israel, they have been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Moses is dead. Now the Lord is saying, I've given you a promised land. I've given you a place, the land of Canaan. I want you to go over this Jordan River. I want you to get up. The time has come for you to get up and do something about what I've given you. All right? So he says, here is the promised land. The promised land is, he says, the great river Euphrates, all of it. He said, every place is other people's land. It's the land of the Hittites, all the land of the Hittites. All right. You river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun. So he says here, all of this is yours. And he said, but the whole point is you're going to have to possess it. You're going to have every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. So in other words, if your foot doesn't tread upon it, I'm not going to give it to you. It's not yours. You're not going to claim it. So the Lord is telling us, and I believe in the same way in a spiritual sense, the Lord tells us that there's a spiritual promise that the Lord gives us. There are places in our experience that the Lord says, if you your foot treads upon it, if you have the courage to step out on it and step out on my promise, I'm going to give you everything that you step out on. But you know what our problem is? The majority of the time, our problem is that we're afraid. We see the Hittites. We see the giants. We see the things that are opposing us. And we see all of those things, and we fail. We stop right there because of fear. May the Lord help us. I believe that there is ground, spiritual ground, that the Lord wants us to gain. There's spiritual ground that the Lord has already given us. It's not that he's going to give us. We're praying about it, and we're saying, oh, Lord, I want you to give me this, and I want you to give me a greater experience, and I want you to do all these things for me. We're praying that way, but we're sitting here and not doing anything about it. Lord, help us. The Lord says here, there has to be some action behind whatever you're praying in. What the scripture in one says, faith without works is dead. So in other words, I can pray and I can ask the Lord. I can see the land that I want to possess. I can see all the way to the sea, if you will. I can see that. But unless I walk out on it and take it from whoever has it, where the devil has it, coming against us, unless I take it, I don't have it. You understand what I'm saying? All right. From the wilderness to this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. The Lord is saying that to us. I will not fail thee. I was with Moses. Now, I believe it's important for us to understand that Joshua was Moses' minister. Joshua was there. They talked. They communed one with another. He saw how the Lord blessed Moses. And now the Lord is saying, as I was with Moses, you saw what happened with Moses. You saw what happened in times past with the older saints. Maybe your mother, maybe your father, maybe someone that you had a level of confidence in, and the Lord was with them. The Lord is saying, I'm going to be with you. I'm gonna be there with you. I am no respecter of persons. I'm not doing it for that past generation, and I'm not going to do it for you. So the Lord is telling Joshua, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. The Lord is telling you this, as I was with brother so-and-so, as I was with the previous generation, I'm going to be with you. No, not just the previous generation. The Lord is saying to us, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Literally. All right? All right, so he says here, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide the inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now, what is it going to take for us to get the things that the Lord has for us, the blessings, the promises that the Lord has for us? There are many, many promises in the Bible. Oftentimes, if I can use this term here, oftentimes those promises are guarded. And we've got to overcome those giants. There are fears. There are things that if the Lord says, for instance, if the Lord says that that the Lord still heals in the Word of God, and then we get sick, what are we going to do? Are we going to trust the Lord? Are we going to be afraid? Yes, I understand fear. I get afraid. I get afraid of things that happen to us. And what I believe the Lord wants us to get a hold of right here today is be of good courage. That's what we're going to name it. Be of good courage, all right? So, I want to read a little bit further down. If someone have it, read it for us, okay? Continue to read. Yes, swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now, you're getting ready to go into the land of Canaan. He said, I want you to be very courageous. Now, he keeps telling us, he says, I've preached on this subject before. I've preached on this passage of Scripture. I know the Lord wants us to renew it and give us a greater understanding that we're, in order for us to get anything spiritual, we're going to have to be courageous and we're going to have to do it, right? Yeah. All right, so he said, continue to read, all right? Only be thou strong and very courageous. He keeps telling the children of Israel, be strong and very courageous. Whatever it is that you are facing today, the Lord wants you to understand, don't be discouraged by it. Yes, there are things. Maybe you're facing some things in your home. Maybe you're facing some things in your marriage. Maybe you're facing some things with your children, on the job, whatever it is. The Lord said, don't be afraid. I will not fail you. The Lord says that. And as long as I stay, believe that, and I can stand on that promise, that I can have what's in the promised land. The Lord promised that. He promised me that He will not fail me. He will not turn His back on me. He will not forsake me. No matter what it is, if I'm dealing with the sister put in a request concerning their children, you're dealing with your children, the Lord will not fail you. He will not forsake you. He won't do it. All right. It's a promise. The land of promise is what the children of Israel is getting ready to go on. And if I can just stand my ground, if I can just tread on this, Lord, you promised that you wouldn't forsake me in the midst of this, and I'm going to stand there, the Lord will not fail you. The Lord will not fail you. You know what? He cannot fail. You know what? The reason we fail is because we don't have the strength or the capacity to do whatever it is that we're faced with. But God has never been baffled with anything that He's faced. All right? Read. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. So in other words, you know what? Some folks want to say, we're in a new land. We're getting ready to do something. Let's try something different. The old law that we once had is not really, it's not probably going to work here. But the Lord is saying, you maintain what you know works. Don't leave the Word of God. Don't leave the doctrine of the Bible. Folks want to go out and do their own thing, and they want to try something new. But let me tell you, what I want something that's going to work. I want to know that it's going to work, and I want somebody else to have experienced it. And I don't want to have to make mistakes. I tell my children, you don't have to make the mistakes that I made. So why? I want to give you information. I want to give you the information. I want to guide you in a way that you don't have to make your own mistakes. All right? I know everybody's going to make mistakes, but the whole point is you don't have to make the same mistakes that could be prevented. Yeah. All right? Read. Eighth verse. All that that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's how you're going to be successful, is to follow the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, any person that follows the Word of God is far more successful than the people that don't. You might say they're movie stars and they're supposed to have a whole bunch of money and all this kind of thing, but I'm going to tell you, when you get behind the scenes in their lives, a person that don't have very much money and a person that follows the will and the way of God is far better off than the other individual. We idolize them. We lift those kinds of people up, but those kinds of people are not the role model of my children. When I was raising our children, the role models were not the basketball players and the people that were famous. You know who the role models were? I wanted to be my son's role model. I wanted my wife to be my daughter's role model. I wanted them to look at folks that we could see their lives. We could see behind the scenes. We can go behind the closed doors and we can see that these people are living right. You watch that person. Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. That's your role model. Those are the individuals that you want to follow. These individuals that have followed the Word of God. Then you're going to have success. Let me tell you, I don't care. I told them, I don't care if you don't. I wanted them to go to college, and I thank the Lord that both of them did. But you know what? I don't care if they got degrees and all these kinds of things. That is not success. You know what success is? Success is living for the Lord. That's what success. As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter. I said, you know what? I'm not so proud of my children having degrees and good jobs and all that kind of stuff. That's completely secondary. What is most important to me is that they love the Lord. That's success, that they're following the Word of God. And then I think I've done my job the way that I need to do it. And now as a pastor, my responsibility is to make certain that you understand that success is not getting out there and getting a whole bunch of money and health and wealth and all this thing. Success is maintaining your integrity with the Lord. Doesn't matter what the world thinks. Doesn't matter that nobody thinks very highly of you. That doesn't matter. But you know, they don't know your name, but God knows your name. That's all that matters. God knows who I am. God knows who you are. God is concerned about every little thing that concerns you. That is more important. That's success because the Lord knows my name. Because one day I'm going to stand before the Lord. I was at a funeral yesterday. I preached a funeral yesterday. You know what? No, not a whole lot of people knew her name, but let me tell you, as long as the Lord knew her name. Because right now, does it matter? Does it matter that the world knew who Juanita Johnson was? No. But it does matter right now whether or not the Lord knew who she was. And that's what all that matters. That's what success is. Have not I commanded thee, read.
Have not I commanded
thee, be strong. Why is he saying this? Why is he being so redundant about this? Oh, have I not commanded you? It's not just a suggestion. Well, you should be courageous. You should be strong. He said, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage.
Yes.
Be not afraid.
Yes.
Neither be baffled or dismayed at what happens to you. Do you know sometimes the Lord takes you through tests and trials? And he wants to test you to see where you are, to see whether or not you're going to trust him. And then you know what? Sometimes, Lord, I'm trusting you. You know what? It gets worse before it gets better. Have you ever been in those kinds of places? Lord, I'm trusting you. I don't know why things aren't getting better. And the Lord says, I want you to keep trusting me. He said, don't be dismayed. Well, Lord, I've done this, and it seemed like that didn't work, and I've done this, and it seems like that didn't work, and I've done this. I'm dismayed. I don't know what to do next. Well, the Lord said, keep trusting. All right? He says here, have not I commanded thee, be strong. Now, it's going to take some strength to do that, isn't it? It's going to take some strength for me to hold still and not say anything or not do anything and to trust the Lord in the midst of all of the problems that I'm having in my life. But let me tell you, you're going to be better off when you do it. Lord, have mercy on us. All right, be strong and of a good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So he tells him over and over and over again, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to fail you. I'm going to be with you whithersoever you go. You see how many times he keeps telling and reiterating to the children of Israel, you're going to face some tough things in your life. And let me tell you, all of us, sometimes people get saved because they want an easier life. And let me tell you, I've been on both sides of the fence. It is easier to live for the Lord than it is to not live for him. It's just easier. All right? You know what? I don't have a drug addiction. I don't have to go to rehab. All right? I don't have other addictions that other people have. You know why? Because I've lived for the Lord. And when I live for the Lord, some decisions that I make, some decisions are made for me. All right? So if somebody presents something to you, you don't have to decide. Somebody, you know, one of the reasons I'm not a drug addict is I've never tried the stuff. Never was interested in it. The Lord took it away from me. The Lord didn't give me, the Lord allowed me not to have, or when those kinds of things were presented to us, the Lord gives us the ability to push them aside. The decision to live for the Lord actually, what's the word? It makes us where we don't have to make some other decisions. Well, when somebody presents alcohol or something that I know is wrong, they present it to us, it's just, well, the decision's already made. I'm not going to do it. It's already made. You don't even have to ask me. And sometimes, have you ever been in a situation where somebody's doing, folks are, everybody around you are doing something that they ain't got no business doing, and then they go, oh, I know you ain't going to do that. They've already made the decision for me. Why? Because I made the decision a long time ago, or you made the decision a long time ago to do what God wanted you to do, and part of that decision was right here, the decision is already made that we're not going to do it. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
All right, Lord, help us. So he's telling them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Be not dismayed. Don't be baffled about what's going to happen to you, because the Lord is what he's telling us. Before the next verse goes on about they getting commanded the officers of the people to pass through and commanded the people saying, prepare you victual. He's telling them this before they even get prepared to go. He's telling them, don't be afraid. They're going to be, why is he telling them that? Why is he saying, be of good courage? Why is he saying that? Because you're going to need it. You're going to come across some things in your life. You're going to come across some things in the journey. Going from where you are right now to where God wants you to be, you're going to come across some things that are going to make you afraid. All right? There are going to be some fearful things. I'm going to tell you that now. There are going to be some things that our human capacity is going to say, you know what, I don't know what to do. I've been in situations that I didn't know what to do. There was a place in Chronicles where the children of Israel, all these folks started coming against them, right? They said, Lord, this company, so great a company is coming against us. Lord, we don't know what to do. But our eyes are on you. I don't know what to do, but you know what? Don't take your eye off the Lord. And so what did the Lord say? They prayed, and the Lord said, you're not even going to have to fight in this battle. I want you to stand still and see what God can do. See the salvation of the Lord. You know, sometimes that's what the Lord wants us to do. It seems like I'm afraid. Do you suppose that here they are? Find that. I believe it's in maybe 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. I'm not really sure of the place, but find it. Where and he sent singers out, and he said, and now here are some people facing an army. Do you suppose that that was something that was fearful? That those people that went out before, he said, you're not going to need to fight in this battle. Send yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. You have that? 20 and what? Yes. And where are you reading? 2 Chronicles 20. Okay. Yes. Yes, don't be afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Yes. Thy cliff of Ziz, ye shall find, yes. Yes. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Now, what does it say? Oh, Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Now, why is he saying that to individuals that are getting ready to face a great battle? He tells them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We come into places in our own experience that we see great big things, and we are afraid. And the Lord is saying, the battle is not even yours. Why are you afraid? It's the Lord's battle. Oh, it's easy for you to say it, Brother Darrell, when you're not facing it. It's easy for you to say it when you're behind the pulpit. But let me tell you, I've been on the other side where, yes, there was fear, but I stood firm for the Lord, and the Lord took us through.
Amen.
Whether it's a sickness, whether it's financial crisis, whether it's a situation in your family, in your home, whatever it is, you just set yourself. You set yourself. You decide in your mind, I'm going to trust you through it, Lord. I'm not going to be dismayed. I'm not going to be confounded. I'm not going to be baffled by the situation. I'm going to trust you, and the more I trust you, the more I believe that you're going to do something about it. Lord, help us. You believe the Lord's going to do something about your situation? Well, what if he doesn't? Well, what if he does? Well, I need to have a backup plan. If the Lord doesn't do something about it, I need to have a backup plan, but you don't have a backup plan. You don't know what to do. Here are all these things that are coming against you, and you don't have the capacity to fight. Sometimes the Lord paints you in a corner, so to speak, and he says, listen, the only way out of this is for you to trust me. Lord, help us. He sure he'll do it. He's done it for all of us. All right? So what did he say? Continue to read.
Tomorrow go out against them.
Yes.
So the Lord will be with you. The
Lord will be with you.
And Jehoshaphat bowed his head.
Bowed his head to his face.
And all Judah. And all Judah. And Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord.
Yes.
And the Levites of the children of Kohathites.
All right.
Stood
up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Yes.
And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness.
Yes.
Of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said,
Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And I want to stop there. I want to jump down for the sake of time. 22nd verse. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. All right, so the story here is the Lord said, set yourself, you're not going to need to fight in this battle. When they did what the Lord told them to do, they began to sing praises. Do you realize that singing praises is a part of our weaponry? Sometimes when we get discouraged, sometimes we're not encouraged and we get discouraged. You know what that helps us? We just sing a song. Listen to some good, solid Christian music. And the Lord begins to, the words and the music. I don't know how it happened, but the Lord begins to fight the battle for us. And it seems like the depression or the oppression that the enemy has put down on us, it begins to lift. Why? And all we've done is sing. We haven't even read the Word of God. The Lord brings a song to our mind, and those songs are maybe has some of the Word of God into it, and we've been inspired by the Holy Ghost. And as we're singing that song, it seemed like the depression and the discouragement lifts.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? All right. Let's go a little farther here. 1 Samuel. Let's go to Numbers. I'm sorry. Numbers 13 and 27, and then we'll go to 1 Samuel. Numbers 13, verse 27. So the story, the background of the story is that this is before they were, they had come out of the land of Egypt. They were getting ready to go into the Canaan land. And Moses sent out 12 spies to spy out the land. And now those spies had spied out the land for 40 days, and they had come back. And now here's the story that they came back. All right?
And they told him and said,
We came to the land where you sent us. And surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So it's occupied by some pretty fierce armies. These people have put their roots down. This is their home. It's occupied by that. And what the Lord had intended for them to do is to go just march in there and take over anywhere that they wanted to do. Now keep in mind, the Lord said, any place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I already given you. So if you go in there where the Hittites are and the Canaanites are, is yours. All right? It's yours. I've already given it to you. Yes, they have it. They're great walled cities. We're not going to try to tell you that it's not something that you that's intimidating in some kind of a way. Yes, there are great walled cities. All these things are there. They told them exactly what to expect and what to see. All right? Now, continue.
And Caleb
stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. How did he know that? Were we able to do it? The Lord had just helped them through Jericho and all these other places, the Red Sea, all these places that they had come through. The Lord had helped them in that. And now they came to a situation where the Lord is saying, all right, go over into the land of Canaan. We've already spied it out. You know what to expect. The Lord said, I'll be with you all the way. And they said, no, we can't do it. Caleb is saying, we can do it. What did the other one say? But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are.
They brought up
an evil report Mm-hmm. Search.
Unto the children of Israel, saying,
the land through which, yes, we searched it, eateth up the inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sights as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sights. How do you know how they were feeling about you? Do you know what happens in situations like this? Here is, they're getting ready to go. They see the reality of what they're up against, and there's two different reports. Caleb is trusting the Lord. Caleb is saying, listen, we're well able to take them. The Lord has already given us some background that he's not going to forsake us. He's not going to fail us. He's telling us to be strong. All these things that the Lord has already told us, we can take them over. But the other now, Caleb, the other ones are saying, no, we can't take them. These guys were like giants. And we were in our own sense as grasshoppers, and we were in their sight. What tends to happen when we face, when we're afraid? Do you know there is something about us that there is an ability to project in the confines or in the screens of our mind to make things bigger?
Yeah.
Like on a movie projector. People go to the movies, and what do? They have a screen that's as wide as this room or wider. I don't know. But it's wider. And everything on that is bigger than life, isn't it? And we have the ability in our minds to make giants of things that are not giants. So problems that we have, we project it on the screen in our mind, and the problem is much bigger in when we're looking at it than it really is in real life. And so that's what the enemy's job is to do. The enemy's tactic is for us to tell us how hard and how difficult this is going to be. And if you project that up on, when you really look at it, here's reality. When you really look at it, it's that big. These guys are giants. Yeah, they were bigger than you were. But then now, for some reason, we reduce our own ability and we reduce the Lord, which is really, when we reduce God to the size of a grasshopper, it's a lack of faith. Lord, have mercy on us. That we are saying that our God is not bigger than the giants. That our God is not bigger than the mountains that we're going to face. God is bigger than any of your problems. God is bigger than anything that you can project on the screen. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Lord, give us the faith to be able to trust you. Give us the faith to reduce the enemy. I've been in situations that I have felt intimidated by people. Have you ever felt intimidated by people? Let's go to another one. Let's go to 1 Samuel 17 and let's start at the third verse. Yes. 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 And when a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of brass on his head, armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels. All right. All right. Yes. You know what? We know the story here. I'm not going to go with it. I believe these walls are 14 feet. On the side of these, on this building. They're 14 feet, if I remember correctly. And what they're saying is that Goliath was about 9 foot 6 to 11 foot tall. All right? So that would be probably, roughly to the top of that window. All right? So here I am, a man. I'm 5'10 with my shoes on. And so I'm up here, and I'm looking at a guy. Even if a guy was to the left. So these are 14 feet, so that's about 4 feet down. If you got somebody that tall, that would be intimidating, wouldn't it? That there's a guy that's 11 foot tall, and he's standing there, and he's a man of war, and he's standing there, and this man is very intimidating. All right? And so we're looking at him, and we've got on one side of the mountain, they put their battle in array over here, and we put our battle in array over there, and this man comes out every time. And what happens? Every time Goliath comes down, he starts to defy the armies of the living God. All right? And then everybody, all the children of Israel, when he comes out, they go back because they are afraid of him. All right? And so here's the thing. That would be intimidating. There are some things that are intimidating, and Goliath being that tall and me standing as a normal-sized man, standing even if it's just up to the first line of the window, that's pretty intimidating, isn't it? Now, the it was long. All right, just his hand. And it talks about all the things that he was able to do. That's intimidating. Do you realize that the devil is going to try to intimidate you to do nothing, for you to be so afraid that you do nothing? All right? But then the Lord always has somebody that says, you know what, I'm not going to be intimidated by that. Now you might say, well, you are a foolish little boy. Here comes David. He says, I'm not going to be intimidated by that because I'm not going to use a sword. I'm not going to do. I'm going to use what I know will work. That I know that I can hit that man right here in the top of his forehead because I've been out there practicing. And he does that, and when he does it, what happens? That intimidation, when he runs toward Goliath and he says, you know what, the Lord's going to give it to you, give your head, I'm going to hold your head in my hands today. When he says that, he didn't say it in his own strength. He said it because he knew that the Lord was going to do it. Let me tell you what happens. The devil wants to intimidate you. He wants to make you afraid. He wants to show you the giants. He wants to show you that there is nothing that you can do about them, and they are much stronger than you are, and there is no way that you're going to be able to defeat them. And the Lord wants to show you that you're David. The Lord wants to show you not to be intimidated by these things. The Lord wants to say, be of good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed, because the Lord is going to be with you. Suppose the Lord was with David. And David takes a little rock about this big. I don't know how big it was, but it was much smaller than the spear and much smaller than the man that he brought down with it. And what the Lord wants you to understand, the Lord wants me to understand, prayer works. It may not seem like it does, but prayer works. And what is it? It's that missile that David never had to touch Goliath. He didn't touch him until Goliath came tumbling down. But David knew how big God was. Do you know how big God is? Do you know that God can take care of all of your problems? Do you know that the situation that you're facing, that you feel like you're dismayed and discouraged and all of this, the Lord is saying to you, be of good courage. I'm going to take care. I can take care of that for you. But your feet, you've got to tread on it. You've got to trust me. And that's what really, in essence, what that was. And because what would happen is if you didn't go there, if you were, you know, the reason we don't do it is because we're afraid. Why did they not go into the land of Canaan initially? Yes. It's prayer. We need to pray for Asa. Maybe we can go to prayer. Let's go to prayer for Asa. Lord, we'll touch it. Father in heaven, we come to you on behalf of Asa. We ask you that you would touch him in his body, that you'd rebuke the powers of hell, that you'd put breath in him right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, you're a great God. There's nothing too hard for you. We're talking about you today, dear Lord, and we're asking you that you would have mercy on our brother, that you'd bless him right now, that you'd rebuke the devil on his behalf, that you'd have mercy as only you can do right now, dear Lord. Bless Asa. Touch him in his body, dear Lord. We ask it in the precious, most holy and righteous name of Jesus, Lord. You see that we're in agreement here, and we're looking for you to bless our brother, dear Lord. You see his trust in you, dear Lord. You see our trust in you. And we're asking you that you bless him right now in Jesus' precious, most holy and righteous name. We're looking for you to do it, dear Lord. Put breath in him. Help him to be able to catch his breath. Help him to be able to remove the mucus or whatever it is, dear Lord. We ask you that you have special, special mercy on him as only you can do. We pray in the precious name of and precious and holy name of Jesus. We ask it, dear Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Father. Bless him, Lord. Bless him. Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Father. All right. Lord, bless him. special touch. It's a special touch. Thank the Lord for what he's done for him. Many, many times. Let's continue to pray for him. All right? All right, let's go. I want to drop down to the 23rd verse of this same chapter where it talks about, he says, "And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion of the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid." Now, this is what I want us to get a hold of. They fled from him and they were sore afraid. And you know what? Fear can be debilitating. It can stop us from action. Sometimes when a person gets afraid, what do? They stop. They just freeze. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Or have you ever seen somebody that's in a situation like that? May the Lord help us to realize that that's what fear is. The Lord is telling us, be of good courage. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave. And the Lord is not going to leave us. All right? So we've got to trust him to that end. I want to read a few other scriptures before we bring our thought to an end. The 25th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 25, verse 24. Matthew 25, verse 24. If you have it, read it, please.
Then he went.
He that received the one talent came and said, "Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid." I want us to get a hold of that. "I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." His Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which had 10 talents. All right, now I want to say it for a moment. Fear will cause us to disobey God. They knew what they should have been doing, but they refused to do it because of fear. So he says here, because they were afraid, I was afraid, and so I hid your money, here's what's yours. And so in the result of that fear, a person that did not have the courage to do what God told them to do, and they just decided that they weren't going to do it because they're afraid or because it's a place of discomfort. Well, let me tell you something. Most of us know this. There are a lot of places of discomfort that the Lord's going to require you to do it. I've been in places of intimidation. You've been in places where you've been intimidated, right? All of us have. We've been in places where we've been intimidated. And what happens is when we get through and we find out that, you know what, this person, they make a lot of money, or they are they have a high reputation and whatnot, but they're no different than me. They do the same thing I do. Brush their teeth in the morning. Do the same things that we go through. There's nobody for us to look up to and be intimidated by. So the Lord wants us to understand that there are things in our lives. There are things in our existence. There are things in our future that have the ability to make us fearful. But our job is to make certain that we're not afraid. The Lord is going to be with us every step of the way. Isn't that wonderful? All right. All right, let's go to Psalms 27, verse 14. We'll read that. Closing, 27, verse 14. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So in other words, one of the things that we do, in the upper verse it says, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I would have fainted. So in other words, it wouldn't have been well for me if I didn't have the faith to believe that God was able to do what I was depending on him to do. So it says here, wait on the Lord. There are going to be some times we're going to have to wait on the Lord, aren't we? There are going to be some times that things are not going to happen when we think that they're going to happen, but they're going to happen in the Lord's time. So our job and our responsibility is to make certain that, Lord, by your grace, I want them to happen in your timing, all right? And he shall strengthen my heart, wait, I say, on the Lord. There are going to be some times that we are discouraged. And I don't believe, well, we want to say, oh, no, if you're saved, you're not going to be discouraged. Yeah, you will. There will be times here that things will happen. It seems like the whole world, the weight of the whole world has fallen out on your shoulders. But discouragement is not a state that we as Christians, saints of God, are to remain in. The enemy can come against us. We don't know what to do. Let me tell you, the thing that for us to do when we're feeling discouraged, when we're feeling that our courage is gone, then the thing for us to do is fall down on our knees, come before the Lord and say, Lord, restore my courage, strengthen my heart. Be of good courage. Be of good cheer. And the Lord will strengthen your heart. The Lord gives you some strength to keep going. Yes, there are going to be many, during your years of life, there are going to be many, those, the older ones here, and me being one of the older ones here, perhaps, and we've been through some things, haven't we? And there are those that have been through much more than I have, and the Lord has not failed them, and if He's not going to fail them, He's not going to fail me either. That's the encouraging thing that I can see, that we can trust the Lord at any given time, all the time. We can trust the Lord, and the Lord will be there for us. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I'm intimidated by something. It doesn't matter if I'm fearful. Let me tell you one of the things about courage. It's courage is not an absence of fear. We've heard that, isn't it? It's that I'm going to go through it. My foot is going to tread on the purpose despite how I feel, despite the emotion of fear. I'm going to do it anyway. And you know, I've seen many things that the Lord has blessed us with and blessed different people with because they refused to be deterred by fear, but they were determined because God was there. So you have a choice. You have a choice to be deterred by what you face and what you perceive and what you see as this big, great giant. You can be deterred by it and you say, I'm not going to go any further. You can disobey the Lord. You can turn to the side. The Lord wants you to go forward and you can turn to the side. Or you can say, you know what? That's not going to deter me. I'm going to be determined by the grace of God. I'm going to be determined to get through this and the Lord's going to help me through it. And the Lord's going to see you through. He said, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. He said, only be of good courage. Be of good courage. May the Lord help us and encourage us in our hearts. Let us stand, have a number. Maybe someone that has a desire to pray would come forward to the altar. Be someone to pray with you.